was hoping if I sat out there again tonight that Brother Dan would appear again. I always enjoy hearing Dan preach, and certainly was blessed by his message this morning. In particular, a couple of thoughts that he touched on, and particularly the thought about of all the people that were bumping into the Lord and having contact with the Lord there, it was this one woman who was healed, who really made contact with Him. And that was quite a convicting thought, to think of how many times we come to the services and we're having this interaction with the Lord, and yet we're unchanged by it. So we thank the Lord for Dan and Barbara, and wish they would just have their stuff fetched up here. I started to say, we'll find a place to put it. Somebody did say that. There are storage buildings, and but we're thankful for them. Turning tonight to 1 Timothy chapter 5. While you're turning there, I need to mention two things. One is the school board needs to have a brief meeting right up here after the service tonight. So school board members, keep that in mind. The other thing is, as I was listening to Kathy play and Laura play tonight, I was reminded of a lady who once said about a pianist, if there's any music in that thing, he can get it out of it. Well, if there's any music in there, they'll get it out of there. And this piano is really a treasure, and it needs to be overhauled. And the board decided a couple of weeks ago that we would go ahead and have it overhauled, and the overhaul is going to cost $7,500. That sounds like a lot of money, but a piano like that new is somewhere in the neighborhood of $70,000. That piano, as it sits right now, Brother Benny was saying, was worth somewhere in the neighborhood of $30,000 plus. And so it's certainly worth expending $7,500 on it. Some of the repairs that need to be made are very less serious. Some of them are serious. The legs need to be dealt with to keep it from falling. So I say that to just say that we're not going to take up a special offering per se, but if the Lord lays on your heart to, as you give your money, your tithes, and your offerings, if the Lord lays it on your heart to designate for the piano overhaul, then I think that is something that would be well worth your consideration. So ask the Lord what He would have you to do about that. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 21, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You again tonight for the great privilege that is ours to study Your Word together and to think upon it. And Father, what a blessing it was to hear Brother Dan's message this morning. And help us not to be like the majority that was in that crowd who were there that day and interacted with You and yet were unchanged by their contact with You. Help us to be changed tonight by our contact with You and with Your Word. And this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. In our recent studies of the words one another, we've been looking at Paul's words to Timothy here in 1 Timothy 5:21, the verse that is our text tonight and a verse that we want to continue to think about. It's one that has a very deep bottom that I'm sure we won't be able to get down to, but there's great depth in this verse, and I think there's great need for us to consider this charge, this very solemn reminder that Paul gave to Timothy, and the solemnity of the charge here is magnified by whom it is before and in the presence of. This charge is before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels. And the charge is this, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. And what we started a couple of weeks ago was to look at these things that we are charged before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels to observe without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. And the first one of these, as we saw, is prayer. Look at again at chapter 2 and verse 1. Paul says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, here's the first thing that we are to observe. And what is it? I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. The first thing that we are to observe is prayer. We're to pray for people and their needs. We're to pray, and we're to do that, as we talked about last time, with importunity, with continual coming to the Lord, with fervent, effectual prayers. And our prayers, our supplications, our requests are always to be made with thanksgiving. And our prayers are to be made for all men. I've circled that word all in verse 1 because in that little three-letter word, the Spirit of God has packed these nine words without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. That little three-letter word excludes no one. It includes everyone, all men. Last time we asked ourselves this question, who is there in this church that we're not praying for? What person is there in this church whose supplications we're ignoring, who we will not make intercession for? What person is there in this church for whom we do not give thanks? If there's one person in this church that we feel that way about, then we fail the charge. We fail to keep this charge that's given to us before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels. And we're not observing, we're not praying without preferring one before another. We're praying based on partiality. And it's a serious thing to do that. It's something that God does not take lightly. And I'd like for us to just think about that tonight, the seriousness of how the Lord views these things. Turn over to the book of 1 John, if you will. 1 John chapter 2. And we want to read at verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Now, we need to understand who this word brother is referring to. It's certainly referring to those who are related by physical birth. It's certainly referring to those who are related by blood. But this word also refers, and we'll see and think about in just a minute, this word also refers by a margin of almost 2 to 1. Here in the New Testament, to those who are related by spiritual birth. It's referring to those who are related not by the blood of their physical father, but by the blood of their heavenly father, the blood of God, which was shed for our sins on the cross of Calvary. And so this word brother refers to both the physical, your physical brother, the one that you grew up with, the one that you lived in the house with, maybe you still do, and spiritual brothers as well. And God says here that if you say that you are in the light, and when someone says that they are in the light, they are saying that they're saved. That's their claim. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so when someone says that they are in the light, what they're saying is they're saved. What they're saying is that they have the light of life in them, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they say that they are in the light, they are also saying that they are in fellowship with the Lord. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, the primary one with another there is our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're not having fellowship with Him, if you're not walking in the light as He is in the light, then you're not having fellowship with Him, then you are not going to be having fellowship with one another, with the believers who are around you. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And so it's very important to understand the meaning of these words as we look at this verse. And so He says that he that is in the light, he that is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness. He's in darkness. He's either not saved, or if he is saved, he's out of fellowship with the Lord. Now, which brother is John referring to? Is he referring to the physical brother or the spiritual brother? The answer is yes. He's referring to both. The first time these words, these verses were preached to me in a sermon, they were preached to me by my father. Some of the best sermons that I ever got were one-on-one sermons from my dad. My older brother and I were not getting along very well at that time. And my daddy took me aside because I say now I have the great pleasure of living close by to my father. My brother lived a good distance away, so he missed the sermon. But Daddy took me aside, and he read me these verses here in 1 John chapter 2. And one that we'll look at in chapter 4 in just a minute. The way that he applied this verse is that it referred to my physical brother and our relationship. And I have to be honest with you, at that time, I didn't like the application that he was making. And so I tried to say, now Dad, now wait just a minute. That word brother there is referring to my brothers in Christ. It's referring to people in the church. No, he wouldn't turn it loose. He said, no. It refers to that, but it also refers to your brother. Your brother that was born in this house and born before you and who grew up with you and who you've known all of your life. It's referring to him. He was right. He was right. But this verse applies there. It applies in families between brothers and sisters. What a shame it is when in our own families, but when brothers and sisters who name the name of Christ have difficulties getting along. It's another thing we're thinking about tonight. And not just in our homes, but in the church. So this verse applies within the family, but it also applies to our spiritual brothers. And as I mentioned a minute ago, if you look this word brother up, you find it's translated brethren 226 times in the Old Testament. And it's translated brother 113 times. It's translated brethren exactly twice the number of times that it's translated brother. And the thought that came to my mind as to why it's like that is because we have far more spiritual brothers and sisters than we have physical brothers and sisters. I had two brothers, but I've got a room full here. I had zero sisters. Some people would say you were blessed. But I had no sisters when I was growing up. I got a room full of them now. And so it's just interesting to me that there's twice as much, that word is translated brethren, twice as many times. It refers plural twice as many times as it does singular. And it spoke to my heart. It's because I have so many more of those than I have the physical brothers. If you hate either one of them, though, your physical brothers and sisters or your spiritual brothers and sisters, if you hate either one of them, you're in darkness. If you hate either one of them, you either aren't really saved or you are out of fellowship with the Lord. Now, we don't like that word hate there. What we like to say is, I don't like brother or sister so-and-so. But I'll tell you what I found in reading the Bible for the last 56 years. I don't find the word like being used to describe the relationships between brothers and sisters. I find the word love or the word hate. The word like is one that we like to use because it makes us feel better about ourselves. It makes us feel better about our attitude toward the people around us. Oh, no, no, no. I don't hate this person or that person. I just don't like them. I don't find that kind of middle ground in the Word of God. I don't find that kind of gray area here. We like to live in the gray if we can. What I find here in the Word of God is black and white. I don't find gray. I find love and I find hate. Which one do we have tonight toward our fellow believers? All of our fellow believers. All of them. Well, we love the ones that love us. But you remember what the Lord said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 32, "For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye?" Well, what's so special about that? If you love the people that love you, for sinners also love those that love them. There's nothing unusual about loving people that love us. That's easy. But I'll tell you what's hard. Loving those who don't love us. That's hard. Loving those who hate us. I'll tell you what's hard. Loving all men. Loving all those in our sphere of life, in our sphere of contact, praying for all of our fellow believers around us, and doing it without preferring one before another, doing it without partiality. Notice this 11th verse here of 1 John chapter 2. "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." There's something in this verse that I'd never noticed before. Look at the last words of this verse. "Because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." We don't think of darkness as blinding our eyes. We think of light as blinding our eyes. And that may be true in the physical world. You can't, if you stare up at a light and you look away, it has an effect upon your eyes. And of course, if you were to go out and just stare at the sun with no break, you could lose your eyesight. So we think of light as blinding our eyes. But it's not like that in the spiritual world. Here we're reading about darkness blinding the eyes. Psalm 119 and verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Verse 130 of that chapter says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." The word living, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the light. We quoted John chapter 8 and verse 12 a few minutes ago, where the Lord Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." The word written is the light. And the word living and the word written, that light doesn't blind the eyes. It enlightens the eyes. That's what we read in Psalm 19. It's darkness that blinds. And the kind of darkness that blinds that John is talking about here is the darkness that comes when we hate a brother or a sister here in this church. And we want to make this not vague tonight. We want to bring it home to our hearts. Because we want to be changed by our contact with the Word of God. What hatred is there for another believer that's blinding our eyes tonight? Look over at 1 John chapter 4. This was another of the verses that my daddy preached to me. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? That verse stabbed me in the heart when my daddy read it to me. Folks, there is no point. We are wasting our time singing, Oh, how I love Jesus, whom we have not seen, when we do not love our brothers and sisters who we have seen. We're thinking about what it means that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for all men. And doing that without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. So maybe you're thinking, how do we go from talking about prayer to talking about love? Folks, prayer is an expression. It is an expression. It is a practical demonstration of our love for one another. That's the connection. You pray for people because you love them. And if you pray for them, even though you hate them, you'll start loving them. It'll change your life. It'll change your attitude toward them. Praying for them. Calling their name before the Lord. While we're on this subject of praying for all men, while we're thinking on this subject of love for our fellow believers and having that without preferring one before another, without doing anything by partiality, turn back to John's gospel just for a minute. John had a lot to say about love. We've seen what he says there in his epistle. And we want to see what he's recorded in his gospel. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 15. The Lord Jesus says here, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Look at verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Verse 23. If a man love me, he will keep my words. Verse 24. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. Four times in the space of 10 verses, the Lord Jesus gives us the test. He gives us the proof of our love. If ye love me, keep my commandments. The proof of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ is obedience to His Word. Obedience to His Word. Now look back a page at John chapter 13. And look at verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Here's another of our one another verses. And we didn't come to this one. We picked up this thought. We started thinking about these two words, one another, in the epistles. And we've come across that the command there to love one another. And it's the same command that the Lord gives here. But here, the words are spoken by the Lord. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Now that verse doesn't stop there, does it? A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you. That takes away all the props. That takes away all the excuses. It takes away all the exceptions. How did the Lord love us? Unconditionally. He didn't wait to love us until we loved Him. He loved us first. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The Lord Jesus didn't wait for us to improve. He didn't wait until we got better before He would love us. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord Jesus loved us without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 Timothy 2:4. We'll get to this verse, Lord willing. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's how the Lord loved us. And He says that's how we are to love one another. Now look at this. Look at verse 35. By this, by what? By what we just read in verse 34. That ye love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. The test or the proof of our love for the Lord as individuals. We saw it there in chapter 14 of John's Gospel. He, that's singular. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. If a man love me, he will keep my words. That's personal and individual. But the manifestation, the testimony to all men, our testimony to an onlooking world that we are the disciples, that we are the followers, that we are the children of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the love that we have one for another. Now the question tonight is, how are we doing with the new commandment? That ye love one another as I have loved you. Do we have a loving church based on that? Do we love one another as the Lord loved us? Do we have a loving Christian school? Do we love all the students? Do we love them first before they love us? Or are we waiting for them to improve? Are we waiting for them to get better before we love them? Do we love these children without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality? And maybe as we think about that question, we can answer, yes. Yes, we do love our students that way. And you see it down here in the classrooms. As you go from classroom to classroom, you can hear it as you walk by the classrooms. You can hear the teachers. You can hear that in their voice. And it's a blessing. But here's another question to think about. How about our fellow staff members? How about our fellow staff members? What do our students see and hear? What do our parents see and hear? Do our students... Do our parents know that we are the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ because we have love one for another? Do we love our fellow staff members first before they love us? Or are we waiting for them to improve and get better by our definition of those terms before we love them? Do we love all of our fellow staff members? Do we love all the people who are here laboring for the Lord without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality? From time to time, I talk with teachers. And sometime in the course of our conversation, sometimes they say things. And they say things not that they are telling on someone. I want to make that very clear. But they say things and it just comes out. Little things that they say that suggest that there are some staff members who, as they perceive it, prefer one before another. Who do things by partiality. And I hear that and I think to myself, in a Christian school? Among people who name the name of Christ? I spent a lot of years in the business world. And that's the kind of thing that you find there. In fact, it's a way of life there. You're either in or you're out. And if you're out, your life is miserable. I've been there. I've been out and been miserable. And I'm ashamed to say that I've been in and made other people's lives miserable. I know how it works. And I learned in those years that it's not just chickens who can peck one of their own and make them miserable, even unto death. One of the great things about Y2K is that we got chickens at our house. Brother Richard Johnson, I started to say I helped him. That wouldn't be the truth. He came up and I watched him build us a chicken coop so we could have chickens and we could have eggs. And Brother Richard is such an ingenious man because he knew that I didn't want to go tramping around inside the chicken house. And so he fixed it to where there was a box there and the chickens hopped up and they would lay their eggs and they would hop off that. And then there was this nice little door on the outside. And you just went up and you opened the door and there, you know, there were the eggs. You didn't have to go in or do anything. You just picked them up and put them in your basket and away you went. But I'll tell you something that I learned watching chickens. From time to time, there would be one chicken that I don't know what was wrong with it. I don't know if it said something it shouldn't have said or criticized or, you know, never had anything pleasant to say. But the other chickens began to peck on that chicken. And they would peck and peck and peck. And finally, we had an old dog kennel that the dog had left home and the thing was still out there. So we would take that chicken and we'd put it out there in that little kennel and then we would feed it and it'd sort of get itself back up and get healthy again. And then it was strong enough to go back in and endure whatever it was having to endure again. See, human beings can do the same thing. We can do exactly the same thing. But it should never happen among human beings who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It shouldn't happen in our families. It shouldn't happen in this church. It shouldn't happen in this Christian school. And so the question tonight is, how are we doing with this new commandment? A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. How are we doing with this new commandment? How are we doing praying for all men? How are we doing with this charge? This charge that is before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another. Doing nothing by partiality. May the Lord help us tonight to think about these things. And as we think about them, be changed by them. Not just to come and have contact with the Lord and go on our way, May our desire tonight to be that one, to be that one that is changed because they came in contact with the Word living, the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be that one tonight that is changed because we have come in contact with the Word written here. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we ask You to speak to our hearts from Your Word tonight and help us to examine ourselves. Please help us not to have the it's this person or it's that person. That's the problem, Lord. Help us to have the same attitude that the disciples had there as they were confronted with the question of who the betrayer is. Is it I? Is it I? Help us to ask ourselves that question tonight. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.